Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Goodness gracious. It is a NFL trade deadline day. All sorts of news happening everywhere. The big thing that happened on the day. Actually, there's a pair of big things, although I'm sure that one strikes a little bit harder, and that's that the Colts acquired Sauce Gardner from the Jets, the defensive rookie of the year, the season that he was drafted, and that was a great season. The next few, not quite as good. They will still acquire him for the cost of two first-round picks, a 26th first-round pick and a 27th first-round pick, plus A.D. Mitchell, the wide receiver out of Texas. They will all go to the Jets, and the Colts will receive Sauce Gardner and his extension that he has as well. So that's an interesting part there. The Seahawks have made a trade themselves. They went and acquired Rashid Shaheed from the Saints. So that's an interesting tandem that they now have there to pair with Jaxon Smith-Njigba. And so, funny enough, I've seen, I think it was Zach Rosenblatt, who covers the Jets, saying that he does not believe the Jets are done. He specifically mentions Quinnen Williams, so that could be a move. But he didn't mention this man, although we've been thinking that he might move, Breece Hall, at Breece H on Twitter. He just posted a GIF of Anthony Anderson just kind of looming in the background, wiping the wall as if to say, I'm just waiting, just looking and waiting. That was about 15 minutes ago, so as we are 2 hours away from the trade deadline, could Breece Hall be on the move somewhere? That's something that we're looking and we're waiting for.
Yeah, I think he's waiting for it too. You know, one other thing we haven't even mentioned about the Colts and their big move for Sauce Gardner. How about Carly Urcey Gordon? How about Carly Urcey Gordon?
Yeah, she would absolutely have to sign off.
You think
there.
She putting the pressure
bleep
on
them
Chris
picks.
Ballard?
Bleep them picks.
Because Chris Ballard was not a GM that would do something like
Wheeler
this.
Wheeler dealer. Yeah.
What, make a bad move? He's making a bad move.
I'm talking about trading two first-round picks this.
Yeah. But, yeah, so, you know, new ownership saying, let's go.
Yeah. And not in the football space, but pursuant to Houston, the Astros had a move happen. Looked like our guy Chaz McCormick.
Chaz McCormick has been outrighted.
Yeah. This was going to happen to some degree. Well, not necessarily specifically this, but the Astros needed to do a little bit of housekeeping. I saw Chandler Rome making the mention of this yesterday. 40-man roster. They have 37, but they've got some guys that they have to get back. Eight players, in fact, that were on the 60 IL that needed to get back on the 40-man roster, so they were going to have to clear some space. They had till Thursday to get everything in order, but I guess Chaz, the first of the moves that they were going to make. So Chaz McCormick outrighted for your Astros.
Yeah, not necessarily surprised, but a big part of the Astros' history. Then another part of it that is no longer with it.
Yeah, man, I spent a lot of time yesterday talking to a friend of mine, just like the Astros going forward. We were talking about the World Series, and that took us to all sorts of baseball conversation. And just, I'm so intrigued to see what this next period of time is for the Astros, because they've got a lot of questions to answer with this roster. I mean, outside of just getting your 40-man right for the end of the week, what does it look like going through the winter and getting themselves ready for spring? There's a lot of questions that need to be answered, and it starts with your staff. Talk less of what does your rotation look like, because I got one that I feel confident about, who is a Cy Young finalist. Salute to Hunter Brown.
Yeah,
you still got to figure out how you're going to fix the log jams with your lineup, and then also just how you're going to get some left-handed bats in there, because right now you have one, and that is Yordan Alvarez. If he is healthy, like there's a lot of questions to be answered with this Astros
and
right
the
now.
Pitchers that are all going to be on the shelf, and who's coming back, who's not. Yeah,
are we going into another season of doing the who's coming back from IL?
Yes. To answer your question,
I'm not excited.
Yes,
I'm not excited. All right, speaking of looking and waiting for someone to come back from injury, there's a few of those with the Texans. Obviously, one of those that is actually really interesting that we had not talked much about, I know Aaron Wilson had made mention of him, Kate Stover is one that I'd almost kind of forgotten about, which I guess shame on me. But if and when he returns, and I say if just because how can you be sure of anything at this point in time? But when he returns, one, you hope that like he could still make some level of impact where you are. But two, I mean, that feels like that could be important for what you do.
Well, it's also important on trade deadline day. And depending on where the Texans feel and whether, you know, when he'll come back, it might affect something you might be, a decision you might be making today for a tight end as well. So, yeah, all that comes into play.
Yeah, so there's that. But then also, when you're looking at waiting for people to come back, there's two dudes that both are now in concussion protocol. Titus Howard, which, again, we don't want to make to be a small thing. On the offensive line, you have so few dudes that you've come to have any level of trust in, talk less of like being really, really good at it. Titus Howard, you've definitely had trust in, and that's going to raise some real questions as to what this looks like for your offense. But C.J. Stroud, obviously, that's the big kahuna, the quarterback of the team. Is there something we're missing here with C.J. from your perspective?
Well, I'm wondering, and let's keep this in mind, you know, and you mentioned it earlier. D'Amico kind of alluded on the coach's show last night. I guess we would be trending toward no.
He didn't allude. He said it pretty. Do we have this from the coach? Don't worry about it. Actually, yeah. If you don't have it, but yeah, he basically was like, "No, we expect that this. It is very rare that a quarterback comes back with that short of a turnaround.
Right.
So we're planning as if Davis Mills is the quarterback,
which is kind of where we were coming off the official concussion designation. But here's what I'm wondering: if we're missing this, two things that I think are pretty important. This is C.J. Stroud's second concussion in less than 2 years. That's not a little thing. I mean, obviously in the NFL, there are head injuries. Figgy, we were at the game, the Jets game, remember?
Yeah, in New York.
In New York.
23.
Yeah, and we happened to be there because it was the same weekend as Army-Navy.
Yep.
And so we went to that game and he got a concussion. That's less than 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And that these are the ones that are officially designated as concussions. You know, NFL players will tell you, oh, I had 17, you know. Or
right,
something.
Yeah. There's no, a lot of
I think it was a conversation that concussion started from last week, the previous week, right?
Yes, there was.
Yeah.
So,
But that wasn't really documented.
But two official in less than 2 years in concussion protocol concussions for C.J. Stroud. So that's something that you don't necessarily, you know, panic meter and all that, but you got to keep an eye on that.
Do you kind of put them in the same sentence, or not the same sentence, but kind of close around the whole Tua thing?
No, you don't go that far.
I'm saying not in the same sentence, but if it keeps going.
Well, I actually, you know, mentioned Tua. You know, does the only effect that I feel Tua has on C.J. Stroud is not necessarily that he's in that category, but because we had the visuals with Tua, you know, are you going to be even more sensitive and alert to be careful with C.J. Stroud?
Oh, yeah. I think that Tua Tagovailoa ends up being quite an inflection point for the National Football League, as everybody has seen how visible and how, you know, how evident, how bad it looked for as a league, the ways that it was handled. So, yeah, I think that it makes everybody be more cautious. I think that's probably something I should have considered when I errantly said that I would bet you that C.J. Stroud returned in that game, is that the league has gotten even more conservative in the way that they handle this, probably for the good of their players because of how visible that was. But I don't think that he's in that space. However, I'm no neurologist or neurological consultant or anything of that ilk. I can't speak to what those injuries look like. And the thing that's scary about head injuries is that we can't get in there. It's not nearly as definitive. It's very, you know, player to player. And so just getting him back already is going to be very unique to him. But then on top of that, there's also some, you know, only God knows how much more likely that makes the possibility of concussions in the future for him.
Yeah, it's a little tricky, too, because I know Tua, we kind of look at we saw it on the field with Tua. But the person I think about is Denzel Ward, the cornerback for the Browns. I feel like he get a concussion every single year, or at least twice a year.
Yeah.
And he still play. Like, a lot of people felt like he shouldn't even play anymore with the concussions, but he still kind of go – I guess he know how to manage it.
Right.
I know that sound kind of weird to say, but I wonder if it could be a situation like that.
Well, everyone will tell you, and we've read it and seen it and heard it, et cetera, once you have one and then you have two, it becomes that much more common to get three, four, five.
Yeah.
So that's one thing I had a question about, and I'm glad we got to talk about that. The other thing – I think there's motivation for both C.J. Stroud's camp and the Texans to say, no, he ain't playing this week, and he may not play until, you know, we get full clearance and, you know, maybe another week or whatever. Because let's not forget the most important thing. Contract.
Yeah.
There's a lot of money involved right now. And I think both sides should have. Certainly David Mulugeta has made a call. I would bet just about anything. David Mulugeta said, hey, Nick, he ain't playing this week, right?
It's within the incentive structure for the agent to protect his client as much as possible. And he's outside of the hierarchy that's created in football where individual players like feel an obligation to their players. Mm-hmm. Dave Mulugeta don't feel no obligation to that team. He feels an obligation to the individual of C.J. Stroud. And it would make sense that the best thing is make sure that you are 100% ready to go and that you're not hampering your future.
I think Mulugeta's flat out saying he ain't playing this week.
Well, not just this week. That's where
maybe not next week.
How much leeway, if at all, do you even believe that there's leeway? How much leeway do you believe that this Texans team has in not having CJ? Because I will admit, like, if there was a time for you to have to play your backup as your starter, mm-hmm. Jaguars Titans isn't the absolute worst thing in the world. Now, of course, being 3-5 makes none of this good, but those two teams, common opponents. Ones that you have played before this year that mm-hmm. you've been able to game plan for, and now that you're building upon those previous game plans, those make it a little bit more palatable, right?
Oh, I think so. But even from the Texans' perspective, I think there's motivation for them to say he ain't playing this week and maybe not next week because this is their franchise quarterback. You know, as much as they want him on the field, and you know, if he gets clearance, maybe he'll be on the field. They don't want that second to become a third quickly and then a fourth and a fifth or whatever. Because I think both sides need to lean to the side, err to the side of caution.
I think you're right, man. I think that it's hard to ignore that. It would just have to be like, is CJ in that place where he's clamoring to get back? And
he's 100-100.
All this be damned. Or, I mean, really, the biggest thing is you have to hope is he just is one of those dudes that's built different, right? I'm not even saying that as a joke. There's some dudes, I always think to Adrian Peterson when he had the ACL tear, and then the surgeon gets in there and he's like, this is pristine. Like, this, why?
Bodies, how do you do that?
Bodies shouldn't do that. Adrian Peterson was just built different on recovery type stuff. Like, maybe that's what you're hoping for. Outside of that, you're right. There's probably quite the possibility that you have to go with Davis Mills. Now, with the opportunity, again, to have prep, I feel a little bit better about that. I still question, and it comes back to the thing that I think we're all at. We're looking at this team is how much belief do you have in the coaching staff and the game planning ability to prepare and get this team best situated to go out and compete on a given day?
Yeah.
Especially if you're stepping down from C.J. Stroud to Dalton Schultz. I've been doing that. Like, since he came in all week, I've just been calling Davis Mills Dalton Schultz like an idiot. But how much can they get ready, Davis Mills? It's a D. It's just their name starts with D. And for some
reason.
They
kind of look alike, right?
Okay, they are both white gentlemen. Okay. Correct, that's right. By the way, some other breaking news when it comes to trade deadline day. Quentin Williams is indeed on the move, like Zach Rosenblatt said. Quentin Williams will be playing with a star on his helmet now. The Dallas Cowboys acquire Quinton Williams for a first-round pick. It seems like there's some more in there. I haven't seen quite any of that.
So the Jets got three first-round picks.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, that's right.
Man.
They might be quiet winners. Like, they weren't expected to be good this year. That's part of why they go and get
Justin
Fields.
And they haven't been.
Yeah.
But they're letting off players, and they're getting good value for them. I think the early questions are, of course, we'll eventually get the full details, but the early details seem to be that this might not even be the first round picks that the Cowboys got from the Packers. This might be the Cowboys' own first round pick. And if you remember, they're bad.
They're bad.
Right?
Yeah. And getting worse.
So that might be a very valuable first round pick that the Jets will add to their own first round pick and the two first, one this year and one next year, that they're acquiring from the Colts. Like the Jets might be drafting by themselves.
Why are the Cowboys doing this?
Because Jerry Jones.
I was like, why am I sitting here thinking like I need to
Jerry
find a good
Jones
answer?
Jerry Jones mentioned yesterday they got some trades.
Yeah, that was so funny too. Yeah, we already made one trade. Can't talk about it yet. Although I am.
that was a great way to announce. Hey, we got a trade coming up, but I can't tell you.
I know something.
And it's crazy. Like that defense is top to bottom. Bad, and I guess they figured, you know what, we need a presence in the middle to fix all of this.
Well, that'll do it.
I do wonder if it helps a little bit if they're able to actually get pressure on the quarterback.
Well, what does it mean?
Because Quinton Williams does it from the middle, if that helps those cornerbacks look better. But
what difference is it going to make?
nothing in reality, but they now they have a player of that caliber that they have. It's a good thing that they finally, after years and years, have a good defensive lineman. When was the last time the Cowboys had that? Let's go to the phone line. I'm being told that Larry Stafford is here. Larry, what you got for me, dog?
What's going on, Reggie, J-Lo, Figgy? Thanks for letting me get in, man. Hey, J-Lo, is it too early in the day to be day drinking, man?
No, never.
Yeah, I didn't think so, because right now it might be the best time for Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans to announce that Tank Dell and Joe Mixon are on their way back. And then they ass might want to go out there and get us another tight end and figure out exactly how we could trade our offensive coordinator for Clint Kubiak. See, these are the kind of moves it's going to take, because I see everybody starting to load up now. So now the Cowboys are doing halfway decent smart things, and then the Colts and went and got them some Chick-fil-A sauce or some cane sauce or whatever sauce they got. So they might want to get out there and figure out real quick that we better start stepping our game up, man, because here's the thing, man. We still have the best quarterback in the AFC South. And if it's not on their minds over there that we've sat through all these losses with a top one defense in the National Football League, then Nick Caserio and everybody over there on Kirby ass need to be fired. Because I can tell you, with that defense, and if we get just some mediocre offense in the red zone, we should be 7-1 and be trying to make these moves. I'm getting sick and tired of it, man, because as many times as we've gotten our hopes up high for them Texans to do special things, we've been let down. And I don't know what my head coach is over there saying, that you better have willpower and this kind of power and all this other kind of stuff if you want to be physical. Your ass got a bunch of chihuahuas and shih tzus on that offensive line. And I got a Rottweiler that loves to put his hands and his paws around them shih tzus' hips. That's exactly what other teams' defenses see when they see y'all ass trying to go forward in the red zone for a touchdown. Kaylee, your ass better figure out real quick what a bootleg and what a sweep and everything else look like. Because the next time I see your ass run two dives with British books right up the middle, I might jump over that rail and run on that field, J-Lo. And you know I'll do it, and I'll holler.
Don't do it. Don't do that.
Yeah, I want
and
you.
Let's not mention the name of that dog that he.
Yeah, I was like, that was a lot of that times, man. That was a lot of that. That was a lot
for
of
my
that.
Purpose.
That was a lot of that. By the way, the Quinnen Williams move that sends him to the Cowboys. The Cowboys send out a second-round pick this year and a first-round pick next year. So it's a 1 and a 2. Ooh. For Quinnen Williams. They add
and
him
the Jets
to the
Jets are eating, man.
The Jets have a lot. They are building themselves a war chest. We'll see if they're able to utilize that to actually revitalize something.
They got like five draw four cars right now, man.
I got to see what their picks are the next 2 years.
The big question is, does Aaron Glenn get to hang around long enough to see what those picks actually are?
Oh, I think now he does. Yeah, all right. I think now he does.
All right. Yeah, the Cowboys also traded for the linebacker out of Cincinnati as well. So they've added some pieces. I still don't know if that's any good. But someone on the text line said Quinnen Williams, they were kind of hoping that the Texans would get him. Not for a 1 and a 2 necessarily. Mm-hmm. But also, something that, oddly enough, that I was talking about with Sean Bajani, you know, the Sheldon Rankins in pass rush win rate is pretty much right there with Quinnen Williams. Sheldon Rankins has been pretty
damn good on that defensive line.
You got to give him credit, especially in passing circumstances. So salute to that man. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, about that time where we hand things over to our guy Figgy Fig for the mixtape. What you got, man?
Yeah, so it's around that time of the season. People start traveling out of town and all that stuff for the holiday. And I got to give people a heads up if you're going to the airport, because there's been a lot going on with that. Plus, Oreo is selling Thanksgiving cookies. And I got the flavors for you.
There better not be no gravy cookies in here. I'm going to be so mad. Let's hear what that is next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, it is the mixtape in the loop, Sports Radio 610. It's your man, Figgy Fig, holding it down. on a Tuesday. Happy Tuesday to everyone out there. I had to make sure it was Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Me too, dude.
Trade deadline going on. So we'll keep you updated on if any breaking news happen. But I also want to keep you guys update what's going on at the airports. I don't know if you guys seen them lines and all that stuff.
Yeah, man.
So
especially IAH. Like, yeah, it's not just airports generically here.
Really here. So, I got this clip from KPRC2. They were out there at IAH Bush, and you might have to wait about 3 hours to get through TSA.
Just through TSA.
And this is all due because the government shut down and all that stuff. So here's KPRC2. News with the story.
A disaster at Houston airports this morning. Bush and Hobby Airport seeing extremely long wait times. At Bush, that wait could exceed 3 hours. Now, because of the government shutdown, TSA staff who are working without pay are not showing up.
They are calling it a nightmare here at Bush Airport. As you said it, TSA wait times could exceed 3 hours. And that is what we're seeing here at Terminal E, where the line is actually outside in the drop-off area. So, yes, passengers here are frustrated. We talked to some. One woman actually was waiting 2 hours in line. And as we were standing there, she said, I'm leaving. She left, was going to hop in a car and drive to Dallas instead. She said today was her very first day on the job. Another woman said she had already been waiting for 3 hours and there was no way she was going to make her flight. And she said that she was going to have to just wait around because at this point, all the next flights are also getting booked up as well. A tough situation for so many people.
Man,
that is tough.
It really is.
Hey, you're going to Dallas. You drive.
You
drive to Dallas.
I'm kind of curious.
At this point?
At this point, if you waiting, if you taking 3 hours to get just through TSA.
Yeah, you're driving.
Yeah, no, at that point, fair. I can't blame them people, though, that got that not getting paid for not showing up to work.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. I remember in college, I used to work at a taco shop right off of campus, and there was another restaurant. It was one of those kind of little entertainment districts. There's a little restaurant a little further down, and one of the things I love about when you work at, like, a restaurant or one of those type of jobs is when y'all trade off and y'all kind of know the employees at the other place. Yeah. Man, the stories I heard about that place and their owner not paying. Oh. A dude ended up in jail because a check bounced when he went to go cash it. I heard that story. I walked right into my general manager. I said, look at me. Look at me in the eyes. The first time that a check bounces, I don't work here anymore. You understand that? So I can't imagine you getting that from the government job. Usually the government jobs are the good, steady ones.
Yeah.
That government job, that check's not coming through. I'm at home.
Oh, by the way, it's November. The holiday season That's what I'm saying. Is upon us.
Yeah, I feel bad. My wife got to travel later this month due to work.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they had some type of conference somewhere. And I thought about going, maybe catch a flight. Nope, I'm not going anywhere for the rest of the year. I hate traveling during the holiday anyway.
Yeah,
because it's always packed.
Did you say they might have to close down some airspace? Did you see the latest?
Because there aren't traffic controllers. Which, honestly, please. Like, if the options are we just out here, I go in the air, or we just have less airspace, I would much prefer less airspace.
But, like, they're going to have to shut down, like, a big chunk of air where these flights go.
Call your own fouls. Call your own fouls. Piloting is not what I wanted.
Keep your head on a swivel, pilots.
y'all do y'all thing out there. But,
that is crazy.
Yeah, so just if you're traveling somewhere, man, just get there 3 to 4 hours early.
Now,
so
one thing I will say is you might end up in there not needing it. I saw Danielle Lerner. Obviously, she covers the Rockets for the Houston Chronicle and does a fantastic job at that. Obviously, the Rockets getting, flying. Who do they have next again? I done forgot where their next game is, but they're on the road. So she had to get on a plane. She said she got to the airport real early, got there in 15 minutes.
Okay.
So sometimes it just, it's up and down.
You got to be safe, better safe than sorry.
100%.
Man. If you get there 3 hours early, you get through, cool, man,
just go get you a Cinnabon.
You don't want to be like the Macaulay Culkin. I forgot the character name in Home Alone.
Kevin!
Yeah, McAllisters. They want to be like the McAllisters.
Oh, yeah.
Running through the airport like a sicko.
Mm-hmm. Damn, now I want a Cinnabon.
Why'd you say that?
Because the only time I ever eat a Cinnabon is at the airport.
Yeah.
I never go get a Cinnabon from it, but when I'm at the airport, I'm like, damn, I want a Cinnabon.
You darn right you do.
All right, let me see if you want to try this. Oh. So let's get some Big Back activity going on.
Big bag. Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you said that because I got the intro to this. Every time we talk about some type of weird food, I'm going to play this intro right here.
Big bag. Yeah, my bag is loaded up with snacks and different foods. Squeeze into this tiny shirt, my big bag has no room. Big bag.
Make it stop.
Why is it so long?
Make it stop.
So Oreo decided to come out with a Thanksgiving cookies that tastes just like turkey and stuffing.
Yeah, no, nope.
Yeah, so nope. So this is pretty much like a remember those cookies that come in a little tin can?
Yeah, like actually holiday cookies.
Yeah. So that's what they got going on here. And some of the flavors they got. They got turkey and stuffing.
Nope.
Sweet potato.
You thought about it. You could actually get me on the spot. I love sweet potato, though.
Maybe.
So.
Yeah, they got cream corn.
Nope.
Cranberry sauce.
Nope.
Actually, I'd be intrigued. I would be.
Pumpkin pie.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And caramel apple pie.
Yes.
All right. So
what are they betting, 500?
Not even. Maybe 375, which honestly is still good batting average.
Yeah.
Yep. So you get 12 cookies and 6 Thanksgiving flavors for $20 plus shipping.
$20?
Yeah. That's actually not bad.
Hey.
For the Christmas tin, $20 gift. Although they have
You're going to give that to somebody?
I was going to say, although they would have to eat turkey and stuffing cookies.
I know what I'm getting Lopez for Christmas.
Hey, oh, God,
I got
no,
you, big
please
dog.
Please
don't. No, I will.
It'll stay right here.
It has been decided.
It'll stay right here.
No, it's not. I'm bringing this to the house.
it'll be on the front porch.
So you could go to Oreo.com if you want to order this.
I'd rather not.
Yeah. I was going to ask y'all if y'all want to kind of go in three ways and try to order this and try it on the air.
I don't. I do not, Figgy.
You don't want to try that pumpkin pie?
The turkey and stuffing has got me like, no way.
And the thing that upsets me is I guarantee you that the turkey and stuffing flavor that they got is not good turkey and stuffing flavor. It's probably like the worst iteration of turkey and stuffing flavor that they then transferred into cookie form, which is not the form that I should be tasting turkey and stuffing.
Yeah. So if you order it, let me know. Hit us up and let me know what you think about it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a mixtape in the loop, Sports Radio 610. So I've talked about this many times on this show, how some of my favorite things to watch on TikTok is the body cams from police officers.
Yeah.
And this one, I ran across this body cam from a police officer in Florida. So a lady was pulled over. She showed the
Florida, huh?
Florida, yeah. So you see where this is going already. That's already strike one.
Yeah.
So she showed the officer her license, but refused to give the officer her license. So
just
she
just showed it to him.
She showed it to him, and it was a big back and forth going on. And here's the back and forth of the lady refusing to actually give the officer her license. Mm-hmm.
I will not hand you my license. I am not required to
hand you my
license.
Listen, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen is I'm going to call for a supervisor and he's going to tell you that you're going to give me your license. Got
no,
it?
No, sir.
And
I so won't.
For the time being, because
with all due respect,
listen to
sir.
Me. Listen to me.
No, sir.
Yes,
no,
ma'am.
Sir.
All right,
no,
out.
Sir.
I need you to step out. Yes.
You'll just have to wait a second.
No, okay. I don't. It's not on your timing. It's on mine.
No, it's not,
There's
sir.
United States case law, Pennsylvania versus.
I don't care what that
okay.
is.
I'm going to go to jail for resisting if you don't get out of here.
That's my driver's license. I showed it to him.
Okay.
Because I'm driving a motor vehicle, I'm required to show you my license if you ask for it. But I don't have to give it to you. I don't ever hand anybody original documents in their hand.
Okay, lady.
She sounds like she knows what she's
talking
about. At
first, it did sound like she had a good point. I was like, okay. Yeah. She was like, no, I don't care about none of them laws. I was like, okay, well, we might be losing ground
here.
Yeah,
a lot of people in the comments were saying, oh, she must have been looking at a TikTok lawyer.
Yeah, something like that. Yes.
Yeah, yes. Of course, a lot of people was calling her Karen, too.
Oh,
But here's more from the officer and the Karen. And they finally got her out the car. And she still didn't give her the license.
I'm just saying, I know what my rights are.
Oh, there, no, that's it's true. I'm certified in the state of Florida as an LEO officer. I know rights. I know case law. I know everything.
That's excellent. Because right now,
so I just don't understand.
He's violating my rights right now.
Yeah.
Yes.
Explain me how.
First of all, he lied to me saying that I have to hand my license over. No, I don't. I don't have to give it to him in his hand. He wants to get mad.
I didn't ask for your opinion. I asked how your rights are being violated.
I just told you that's not an opinion. It's a fact. It's okay.
Okay. I'm sorry you feel that way about how whatever you got going on with your original documents, but that's unfortunately not how it goes.
I know what the law is.
Okay.
I know my rights is always a telltale sign of some shenanigans. Yeah.
I know
what
the law is.
All right, before you've got more, I know, but before we go on, why do you think she is not willing to? Is as simple as my document? I don't think it's that. I think once they get the license, then they run it. Whereas if you just show it to them, it's like, yes, I am who I say I am. I think she might have something in her past.
That's interesting. I hadn't gone that far. She does seem like she just decided, I'm not handing over my original documents.
That's the thing. If you watch the video, and you know, you can't judge a book by its cover. She could be a serial killer for all I know.
Quite possible.
But it seemed like she was just being a jerk.
Yeah. Correct.
Just being a jerk. She probably ain't got nothing on the record or anything. She was just being a jerk. She was real fidgety about, no, you can't touch my documents.
Yeah.
And it's just like, lady, this is
part of her story.
Yeah,
but it could be something else. There's got to be more there.
I like where you're going here. I think this is just as simple as I don't want to and you can't make me. Like some people have the audacity. I do not. Yeah. I actually am kind of not necessarily applaud. What's the right word? Envious of the people that do have the audacity to be like, I just don't want to.
Yeah.
Make me. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Like, just make be me. In that place.
Okay.
I do. My favorite part about all of this, and I say favorite in like a morbid way, right, or whatever, it's just the passive aggression that she could. Not only is she like, I'm not doing this, but she's incredibly passive aggressive as she does it. Yeah. And again, I'm just like the audacity to be able to do that. Yeah. Shout out to you.
Yeah. So this is the part I really wanted to get to. And remember, this is in Florida, right?
Yes.
So you heard the officer going back and forth trying to get this lady licensed so he could do his job and all that stuff. Just imagine going through all of this and somebody else, a pedestrian on the other side of the street, yelling at you, asking something, and kind of like, wait, what's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
So this actually happened. So the guy trying to figure out how to get this lady licensed, and here is a just a random person across the street decided to ask a question to this cop.
What is the legal process to get deputized? Because I'm quitting weed, but what? I also have I think it's misdiagnosis. Is there any possible way?
What are you talking about?
What is the legal process of getting deputized?
You can go to the sheriff's office and request for an application.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. I won't shake your hand because I'm conducting business, but that's the steps.
Yes, sir.
This place is not real sometimes.
Dude, he's having a day.
Some guy. Hey, what's the legal process of getting deputized? The guy was like, wait, what are you talking about?
Why are you here?
He said, I just quit weed, so I'm trying to.
Yeah.
This guy was like, just wait, random. What are you talking about?
This poor guy had to go home and have like five scotches or something.
My brain immediately was, what do you mean just quit weed? Like how recently? Because for you to walk up and add, how do those two things go together? I'm no longer a weed, so what do I need to do next? Become a deputy. Clearly that is the next step on the quit and read journey is becoming a deputized law enforcement officer. I don't make the rules. I just follow.
And you probably didn't hear this towards the end, but he walked away after he told the guy tried to shake his hand. He like, I can't shake your hand. I'm doing something right now. He walked away and said, this place ain't real. This place can't be real sometimes, man.
So how did it end up?
She ended up getting arrested. They put her in handcuffs and all that stuff. I'm not sure what she... I'm
resisting? Not resisting.
I think she was charged with, I guess, what you call it when you don't listen to a cop? When you refuse to do something, a cop tell you to... She was charged with that. I'm not sure she had anything on her record.
Yeah.
But they end up putting her in cuffs.
And by the way, shout out to KHOU11, who has actually done the work on this, that you actually do have to hand them license.
I thought that was common, man. Mm-hmm.
She sounded like she had a good case. For a second there, I was like, she might have a point. As long as I give you the information.
She flashed the license real quick, was like, here, but you can't touch it. She's like, wait, what? Like, where did you get this from?
Oh, I'm looking at it now.
Yeah. So salute to her. Hopefully she ain't doing nothing wrong. I hope she ain't just being a jerk, man.
I really do.
Yeah. But and then before we get out of here, salute to a guy who played for the Magic by the name of Orlando Robinson.
Yeah, mm-hmm. See, I saw this.
Yeah. So he's probably, I don't know if he's the first person in history, but he's a player that have both of his names on the jersey.
Yes.
So you got Orlando on the front and then Robinson on the back.
He's definitely the first Orlando to have played for the Orlando Magic. Like, I know that for certain, and I believe, if memory serves, he is the first person to have both names on his jersey, as you mentioned. Orlando on the front, Robinson on the back. I thought that was kind of fly.
Mm-hmm.
That is kind of dope. Like, that his jersey, I feel like he's just going to, let me get a whole bunch of these.
Let me get two jerseys.
Right.
Frame them both. One side say Orlando.
That's perfect.
The back say Robinson.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, why frame them? Just go ahead and get you a mannequin, have that thing rotate in the house. You know what I mean? Like, do it up big.
Yeah.
Do it up big. All right, yeah. That is a mixtape. 1:20 p.m. every weekday right here on Sports Radio 610. 713-572-4610 if you think that we should do the Thanksgiving Oreo cookie challenge, because it seems like there's people that are like, nah, y'all got to do it. Let me know. 713-572-4610. We'll see if we make that happen.
They got a couple flavors y'all liked or intrigued by, though.
That's true.
We'll see. All right. But yeah, at the Figgy Fig on social media, if you also see something that is mixtape worthy or particularly Big Back for that new segment that apparently is happening. All right. Coming up next, we'll get ready to hand things off to the fellas of the drive. We'll see if there's any other movement in the trade deadline. And speaking of the trade deadline, I do want to ask this. Would you have done this trade if you were the Texans? 713-572-4610. We'll talk about it next. In the loop here on Sports Radio 610, time is ticking down on a NFL trade deadline day. We are, an hour and about 11 minutes away from the deadline hitting. And there's been some real moves that have happened to this point. Sauce Gardner is now part of the AFC South. He joins the Indianapolis Colts. GM Chris Ballard said that he's going to raise everybody else's ceiling, right? He's going to elevate everyone on the defense, was the words that Chris Ballard used when talking about Sauce Gardner. He gave away two first-round picks, 26 mm-hmm. and 27 Colts first-round picks, and A.D. Mitchell, who admittedly wasn't finding a place in this offense, but I still think that's a high price. The Seattle Seahawks end up adding Rashid Shaheed to their offense, who pair with Jaxon Smith-Njigba. They should have some really, really talented, some fantastic play there. The one that has been really interesting to me, and the one that I'm going to use to ask this question here, John Lopez.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, before I get there, sorry. I hate to
That's
get
right.
up in the air here, because I did want to mention another update on our friend Breece Hall.
Mm-hmm.
First and foremost.
He did another one?
Yes, he did another one. about 15 minutes ago, he sent just an emoji, like a tired looking emoji. Mm-hmm. So maybe he has less excitement on the possibility of him finding his way out of New York. However, I think that he probably will. Zach Rosenblatt, who covers the Jets out there, he writes for them, writes for The Athletic covering the Jets, said that multiple league sources told him that they expect Breece Hall and or Jermaine Johnson will be the next players on the Jets on the move. There are offers on the table for both.
Okay.
So there sounds like there are offers on the table for
Breece
Hall.
By the way, he just did another one.
Did he send another one?
The ellipses.
Oh, look at him.
Dot, dot, dot.
He is waiting. He is waiting to get out.
He's doing the fingers on the table thing.
He probably know where he going.
I don't know.
But just kind of waiting for it to happen.
Or that maybe.
Because you kind of get that a lot, too. Like, hey, you're going here. We're just trying to finalize everything.
Yeah.
And shout out to NFL insider Jordan Schultz, whose daddy founded, Starbucks?
We used to call him the Starbucks baby.
Yeah.
Apparently, he's reporting that Jets running back Breece Hall wants to be traded, I'm told.
No kidding.
Really?
A word.
Is that so?
So he follows him on Twitter, too.
Hey, did he get hacked by Magic Johnson or something?
Yeah, I believe he did.
Yeah.
I believe he did. But would you do this trade, the one that the Cowboys just did, a first and a second round pick for Quinnen Williams? Because I'm seeing people that are like, I think value-wise, Quinnen Williams is the type of defensive player that if you're giving two premium picks away, you're like, all right, mm-hmm. I'm starting to think about it. We were talking about this in a break. I think me, you, our program director, Parker, were saying, you know, that's two firsts. Like, you give that up for a playmaker, a person who legitimately changes something.
Mm-hmm.
Like when the Packers did that for Micah Parsons. We still thought that was a little bit of an undersell, but like as someone who changed the game. Quinnen Williams is that. I'm not sure if Sauce Gardner's that, but neither here nor there. With that value there, would you have done that for this Texans team?
It depends on where the record was. I think for the Cowboys, it doesn't make any sense. The Texans, clearly a better team than the Cowboys, and I think it's pretty clear, even though they've had their own struggles, and I think they have the same number of wins, don't they? 3-4-1 versus 3-5.
Are they 3-5-1, I believe?
Maybe 3-5-1. But either way, two first-rounders for...
A first and a second.
I mean, a first and a second for Quinnen Williams.
For whatever that changes for you, which I mean, first and a second aren't the same thing.
Oh, that's a tough one.
I think it's a no, which I feel wild saying because I do think the value there is good for a player on the interior. Plus, you talk about defensive tackle and how much that impacts. One, I think I gave some credit to Sheldon Rankins. Mm-hmm. I think he's been good with the pass block win rate, which I know I'm surprised you didn't make fun of me for dropping that stat from ESPN. But he has been good. I think it's just it's a stat that points to the value that he's brought, particularly in pass rush and in covering up, right? When sometimes the lane gets a little wonky and one of these edge rushers works inside, he's been really good. He's been the guy that I've seen a lot, you know, kind of peeling out and not allowing that quarterback to then get busy on the outside. But then on top of that, could you justify putting even more assets into this defense with the way that this offense is right now?
I think you, now that part, I think you could.
Really?
Yeah, I think you could because we're in week 10. And so I think we pretty much know what this offense is. If your defense can become, and it's already, you know, one of those all-time type defenses, or at least flirting with that possibility, and make them even better, you know, then I actually could see that happen. Because here's the other part of it, and the reason I was hesitating, my inclination would be to agree with you, you know, by and large. Like, I don't think I would do it, but there are a lot of good, you know, interior defensive linemen out there.
Yeah.
There's very few great ones.
Which is a fair point to make.
Very few great ones.
It's a fair point to make. Yeah. The ROI on that is the question there, especially when you also consider the contract that you would have there, mm-hmm. right? Like that you're adding even more to this time period where mm-hmm. you have a lot of money all the way around this team that you're having to navigate. And then the other thing that I bring them back to that is like, hey, you've got a lot of these guys that are picking up money, right? Mm-hmm. Like you got a lot of these guys that are getting bigger contracts that I don't know that you could stomach that. And I feel like with the way that the salary cap works, there's supposed to be some places where you end up not being able to like have the best. And it would feel like you were really capping out on having like elite level players on the defense mm-hmm. and not really giving you very much opportunity to do similar on offense, especially when I think young, cheap talent that you would be giving up in a first and a second round pick are very, very valuable as you are coming into a place where you're paying cornerback and paying pass rushers and paying, you know, safeties, and you might be paying a quarterback. Like, I think that's where it gets a little dicey.
Let me ask you this. We are now just more than 1 hour away from the end of the trade window. Yes or no? Do the Texans make a deal?
I'm leaning, especially seeing the way that the cost of some of these deals are, I'm leaning no. I'm leaning that they will not.
I think I am too.
Although, what is interesting, knowing that there is a deal on the table for Breece Hall, I do wonder if the Texans might be
one of them.
Might be one of them.
Yeah.
Like, that is something that I am wondering about, but I'd lean towards no, that they don't make a deal.
Yeah, I think I'd be leaning that way, but still intrigued And I was almost going to say hopeful. I don't know if I am hopeful that they make a trade. I really, because you can't impact anything with a trade. I mean, who knows? But I don't think you can impact anything with a trade for an offensive lineman. The only swing that I would like for them to take is a big swing, you know, for Achane. And that would be costly. I think that could change the entire dynamic.
Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Now, of course, like, you're not getting scuttlebutt from everywhere. But one of the things I'm wondering about is, I still haven't seen very much about after Josina Anderson put out there like, oh, Evan Neal.
Yeah.
They're looking to trade him. I haven't seen much about like what's happening there. And mm-hmm. we know that a lot of this stuff works almost like a duck where it's a lot of movement underneath and nothing you really see.
And it's a flurry at the end.
Right, and a flurry at the end. So I'm really excited for what these guys that are coming up after us have, particularly in the first hour, but throughout their program. As they watch the end of the trade deadline for 2025 come to the fore, I'm excited to see what it looks like. But you know, I'm with you. I think that their issues are beyond what they're going to acquire here, and I think that they probably will get more run out of addressing some of those. Not to say that you know adding some players would not give them some benefits. I just the thing that I'm most concerned with that has the majority of my attention is. The ability to create schematic advantage. I had some audio with it. We don't have to get to it. I know Bo Nix in his availability, or it might have been after the game, was talking about the touchdown, which, mind you, of the, I believe, 27 times that that Stingley lined up across from Sutton? 24.
Yeah.
There was one catch, and that was that 30-yard touchdown, which when you look at it, that's what either I think that's like cover three or something to that effect where Stingley clearly plays that where he's expecting top help over the top. Bo Nix talks about how, you know, you had that help over the top, that safety over the middle that was held there because they had flooded the zone to the opposite side.
Yeah.
Which that is Sean Payton. After having seen that, remember Kalen Bullock got the interception on similar coverage earlier on in the game. Mm-hmm. I think that Sean Payton saw that and he's like, I know exactly how to attack that if we get that look again. He gets that look, they attack it incredibly well, and they score a touchdown. You look at when you need it most on 3rd and 10. I think Sam Warren did a fantastic job of this breaking down, doing a film breakdown. You need 3rd and 10 on that last drive where D'Amico Ryans and this offense decides to pass the football as opposed to running out the clock like we were kind of hoping. That 3rd down, 3rd and 10, they play. I mean, that defense knows exactly what's happening. They play it perfectly. And what you have is Nico Collins on a comeback route that really there's nothing there that is generated through the actual scheme. It's just like, can Nico Collins beat Riley Moss, and then can your backup quarterback give you a perfect pass there? And I think that's the difference here. We're looking at a Sean Payton that's going to do things that create opportunities for his players, even if it's Cortland Sutton, who is a great player. And then you're looking at Nick Cayley in this offense, where your best player, when you need it the most, is not getting help.
Yeah, fingers crossed, basically.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.